Welcome, everybody, to the MGA Mediocast. This is a podcast about the Mediocre Golf Association, the horrible golf that goes on in it. Well, the mediocre golf that goes on in it. And, of course, I am Willie Dills, joined by my co-founder, El Presidente, John Lucky Kick Morley. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
I do not know what episode this is, to be quite honest. I think it's episode 32. We're going to go with that for right now. But it's been a while since we've done one. We're going to try to make these more regular at this point. Maybe every other week type of thing, and actually bring on guests, members of the MGA, and actually get, you know, get the MGA story from all sides.
Right, talk to the people.
Yeah, let's get the people involved. And speaking of that, we have one right now, and of course, chapter leaders are really important in the MGA. I mean, maybe they're the most important thing.
They're people.
they count as people, yeah. So we have Sean McAfee, who is the chapter leader of Albuquerque. Welcome to the show, Sean. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I like that your logo, by the way, in Albuquerque is Heisenberg. That's that's a nice touch.
I appreciate that, too. Yeah, we had a little fight about that. The guy that started the chapter, Jason Beiswinger, last year, I guess, spent like fucking 150 hours on, you know, Photoshop trying to make some logo that nobody could even see. And then, you know, when he turned it over to me this year, the first thing I did was change the logo, and he got a little butthurt, but he's over it. And we think it represents Albuquerque pretty well.
I think, I think that's a pretty smart move taking over. You assert dominance right away. You say, you know, screw your logo. Right? We're doing things my way now. And actually, you know, you alpha dogged him right there. It's pretty good.
The chapter actually plays tennis now instead of golf.
Yeah, like some things are going to change around here, guys. So he still plays in the chapter, correct?
He does. Yeah. No, he's one of my best friends, and I actually owe him, you know, big for starting this MGA and starting this chapter and finding the MGA, because I mean it basically rescued golf for me. I mean, nice. I was pretty much done playing for a few years, basically because I just had, you know, gotten so pissed off at sucking so bad as I got older, having once been okay. And, you know, along comes the MGA, and now all of a sudden golf's fun again. And, you know, it's just awesome.
And sucking isn't actually a problem. And I see that you're actually currently second in your chapter right now.
Well, that's the thing, is that once I became okay with sucking, I finally started getting a little bit better again.
It's weird how that works, John. I feel like we've noticed that a lot of players in the MGA.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think people get out there and realize that they're surrounded by people who are just as bad as them, and take some of the pressure off.
Well, you know what also happens is you finally get become a member of a golf association where you have a chance to win, you know, with your mediocre golf skills. And you realize that with just a little bit of practice, not even that much, just hitting the range every now and then.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Actually, yeah. No, but you could actually improve enough to beat all these other chumps. So,
I still haven't taken it to that level where I go back to the range again.
Okay.
But, and then, I mean, shit, you know, golf is, you know, if you want to be halfway decent at it, you got to practice. There's no two ways about it. But, you know, I just don't want to be good that bad, I guess.
Sure. Well, actually, my most successful season, 2010, the key was to never play golf in between the tournaments.
Right.
Basically, I just saved all of my good shots, and then I just used them all up in tournament play. And I just didn't waste them on, you know, a random Saturday out with my buddies. So that's the key. Don't practice.
That's a valid strategy, and that's why I don't warm up and I don't take practice swings.
Perfect. Yeah, you just go out there and just let it go. All right.
I only got so many swings of the stick in me on any given day.
Hey, Sean, what the hell is going on in your profile picture here?
You know, is this the
you appear to be crawling,
somebody crawling
the
in the desert?
Oh, I think it's actually a fly fishing picture. It's really fucking old, so I'm not sure.
I feel like I see a golf cart way in the background, though.
I see no rivers.
Yeah, no, that's
no flies, no fishing.
If I remember correctly, that's like what we in New Mexico call a stream, but where everybody else calls like a 2 foot wide ditch with water in it.
Okay. So let's just go over some of Sean's stats here real quick. Second in his chapter, 15th in the world.
Wow.
And averages a score at 95.4, which is pretty mediocre. I got to give you that. That's a nice average there. And on the Who's Kind of Hot list, currently, you are second, sir.
Wow. Well, sunshine's on a dog's ass. I actually decided not to hit driver for once and won a tournament.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So if you have a win under your belt this season, that really helps out. Which tournament did you win?
Actually, I've got two. I got the Hat Slam. I won the Bastards and then the Douchebag.
Wow. Nice one. Those are two, I would say, if I could choose two tournaments to win in a year, I would pick both of those. I think those are my most coveted tournaments.
I was pretty excited about it. I did target the Hat Slam earlier in the year.
is that because you coined the phrase first? Yeah.
It's actually never, like, we've never heard of the Hat Slam before, but now it's a thing.
So I must win it.
Yeah, no, I think I will take credit for that.
Okay, actually,
yeah.
we'll have to add that to the stats that we're going to put up on the site, is career hat slams.
Right.
And see how many people have those.
No, but two things happened. One, the money leader had to go to Denver because he's got, you know, like child custody issues or something.
Oh.
And I think actually if you saw today's news stories, Northern Colorado wrote a story about recruiting members from other chapters.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
I think he actually played in their Douchebag this last weekend.
Oh, nice.
Because he was so bitter about it. He tried to get me to move the tournament. I told him, you know, fuck no. You play when I say we play.
So that's an interesting point you bring up here, too. And I think one of the coolest things about where the MGA has kind of gone at this point, now there's so many chapters. If you find yourself on a trip somewhere and there happens to be a tournament going on in another chapter, it's like instant golf buddies, you know, you just go right over there and you play. And there's a lot more crossover happening now than there ever was. Obviously, Juan Camacho is, you know, he's the biggest roamer in the MGA. He plays in, what, four different chapters or something like that?
Yeah. He's sort of got his own nomad chapter going on.
Yeah, the Camacho nomad chapter. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool that, like, you don't even, you go to another state and you can still play in an MGA tournament. So I love it.
The Northern Colorado chapter sounds fun. I mean, I got a text from Diego during the tournament. He said the booze has gotten the best of me on hole number 12.
That's a few holes too early, but it happens.
Yeah, you got to get the mixture right. And I think maybe being, you know, maybe he was at a higher elevation.
Yeah, higher elevation.
I don't know.
Yeah, plus weed's legal. So, you know, you mix a little bit of weed in there. And, yeah, it's tough to stay sober. Yeah. All right, so let's talk real quick about the start of the Albuquerque chapter, because you mentioned that, you know, it was passed off to you. Right. Are you one of the original members of it? Did you, when you guys first started, what was the scene like there?
I am, and again, Jason Byswinger is the friend of mine that started it, and I'm not exactly sure how he found you guys. I think it might be some sort of a NoFX Fat Mike connection. He's a huge NoFX fan.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense then.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, he said something about, hey, you know, Fat Mike's in this thing called the MGA. I'm going to start a chapter. And, you know, at the time, I mean, I was disgusted with golf. And basically, I mean, I've gotten older, I'm fatter, and my back hurts, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and he's explaining it to me, and I'm like, shit, that sounds kind of fun. You know, if you want to start a chapter, I'm in. And I think we had, what, maybe nine guys for the first tournament last year. Wow. And it was, you know, I mean, it's what's the first tournament? It's what, February? And yeah, no, it was cold as shit, miserable. We all had a great time. We all, you know, we told the rest of our buddies I think we're up to what, like 25?
Yeah, I see on your money list, I see 23 names.
Right.
But maybe there's some guys who haven't cashed yet too. So there could be a few more.
I think everybody that's played is cashed. We've got a couple of guys that signed up that have actually never shown up for one reason or another. John knows the backstory on a couple of them.
It's a common thing, you know. It's fine though. Whatever.
Well, you know, we had these two guys sign up, and you know, the one guy sends me an email, says, "Hey, you know, we always play from the Blues, so can you pair us with the guy that's playing with the Blues?" And so I sent John an email. I'm like, "What the fuck do I do with this?"
You tell him there is no guy playing from the Blues. Well, except for the guy who won last tournament,
right?
And that's not the option here.
Yeah. So I never really heard from him again. One of the two guys signed up for another tournament, and then didn't show. So at this point, I just don't check their names off any. You know, I send the messages and check all, and then uncheck their names.
Mm. So, there's an important thing that must be done during all awards ceremonies at the end of tournaments, and that's anybody who leaves early, anybody who's whose name gets announced and is not there, everyone must boo that man. So make sure that you guys are adhering to that in Albuquerque.
We do, and it's funny because we've got, you know, we've got a member, Randy. We, you know, his nickname's Pizza Guy.
Okay.
He essentially runs a pizza place.
Uh huh.
And
that's a good connection.
Well, and you know, twice now he's gotten called in like during a tournament where like we're fucking busy, we need you, get over here. So he actually WD'd on one. With, you know, what is it? Withdraw, had to deliver pizza, whatever.
Sure,
that
sure. Yeah. I think that's the official term for it. Yeah.
And then the next tournament he actually won, and then had to leave immediately to go deliver pizza, so he wasn't there to get his trophy.
I didn't realize pizza was such an emergency. Like that's.
I guess when you're the man, and yeah. You know, but.
And I didn't realize if you run a place, you still have to deliver the shit.
No. When I say run, I mean he runs pizza from one place to another.
he goes in and does what he has to do. But you know, the funny part of the story is that you know we figured out that if he's ever in contention again, you know, and he's playing, we're gonna call
it. Yeah, you call it a pizza order. Yeah, pretty simple.
Absolutely.
We actually have a restaurant owner in the SFMGA who. Maybe it's been pizza-related emergencies, too. I haven't seen him in a while. Where's Ola been at, John?
Yeah, he got sick of people pronouncing it Ola and left.
Oh, so yeah, because it's Ola. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. He hasn't been out this year. I don't know what's up, man.
I haven't seen him at all.
Super into it last year. I think he was pretty disappointed with his performance at the Cross Bay Cup and might have left in shape.
Yeah, maybe crushed him a little bit. Also, he was in the massive – five-way playoff,
right.
and did not pull that one out either.
No.
So that was the one that Pat won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's move on to some actual MGA news here. We really appreciate you coming on and talking a little bit about the Albuquerque chapter. It sounds like a really cool chapter. And one day when me and John actually get an RV and just travel around playing in all the chapters. We're looking forward to the blue meth and all the other things that come along with Albuquerque.
Yeah, I was going to say private jet, but
private jet, that'll work, yeah. You know, if you're into that sort of thing.
Well, we'll pick you up at the KOA or the airport, however it works out.
All right, sounds good.
Actually, same place.
Yeah. All right, so we got to talk about our little mention here. Some of you may know that me and John and a few other SFMGAers participated in the making of a parody of the Stitches song Brick in Yo Face, and I thought it came out great. I was really happy with it. Apparently,
I'm still really happy with it.
Yeah, apparently not everybody thinks that it was that great. And there was actually some Sean, if you play that audio, I think it'll just play on the show. Do you have it up again that you could just play?
Let me see.
I'm going to go to the YouTube video because I want to see some of these comments.
Appreciation going down.
There it is.
Someone said this
from Boston Radio.
UPS, you should ask whether or not he's ever busted anybody trying to sell it through the mayo. And he's ever said...
Another Stitches song.
All right, Boomer, talking about the Royal and Ancient Golf Club in Scotland, where Stitches is a member. They are voting. Did you see the horrible parody of that song, by the way, said, I got, like, my sticks?
No.
And it was, like, about golf?
No.
Yeah, I got through like 2 seconds of it before I said this is not funny.
No, of course not.
All right, Boomer on the Royal and Ancient Golf Club in Scotland voting to accept women.
Wow. So there you go. We're not only getting slammed in the YouTube comments, which I expect. I mean, I'm actually surprised nobody's dropped the N-word yet in these comments because that's kind of what I expect out of YouTube comments. But still got time.
That radio bit there was actually, I was alerted to that by Mike McMurrow from Ireland.
Yeah, which this is this how is did how he get, find it?
This is how I get news in the MGA. Some guy from the Boston chapter was just listening to morning radio, and he heard it, and then apparently told Mike McMurrow in Ireland, and then Mike told me back in San Francisco.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, we now are up to 22,000 views on this video, which I think makes it the most popular video in MGA history, right? Have we had more than that on anything else?
No, I think think that's number one now.
Yeah, I think this is now. Yeah, this is now the most viewed MGA YouTube video.
Hold on real quick, Sean. You've seen this video.
I think 50 of those views are mine.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what was your initial reaction to this? Did this just come out of left field? Like, because we were kind of quiet this summer. We didn't do a whole lot, and then just one weekend, we decided to make this.
It kind of took me by surprise, but I mean, I viewed them in the order I was supposed to. Is I watched the Stitches video first,
nice,
and then watched the MGA video. And I mean, I was at work, and I literally nothing done the rest of the day. I watched that fucking thing over, over and over again, laughing my ass off. And like I said before, I mean, I can't even get on the golf course anymore without that tune in my head. I'll be standing over a putt. I love playing golf.
It's funny because we really did target this video for MGA members. I mean, this is very specific. I think there's a lot of people who are watching it who are not, and it's just going straight over their heads. The references are not going to hit home like they do for other MGAers.
We even played it on the party bus on the way to one of our events.
Well, that will happen again, very likely, on the MGA WC bus. So look forward to that, everybody. I'm just going to read a couple of these comments, and then we'll talk about the making of this video a little bit. This one is from Sick in the Head, and he says, "This video is fantastic. I can't believe you came up with this amazing concept of taking an existing song and making a parody of it. You guys might have something going here. I mean, 21,000 views is nothing to look down upon. Good luck with your future projects. I hope they don't fucking suck as much as this abortion. Love you." All right, that one's pretty good.
You know, if Novak wasn't in the video, I would think that was Novak. Yeah. Since he was in it, I know he actually
not a
liked
bad
it.
One. All right, here's another one that I think is pretty good. It's from Johnny Welfare, and he says, "It's something else. If a turd took a dump, and that dump took a massive diarrhea with sprinkles, and two of those sprinkles fucked and had abortion rape babies, this is pretty much what I would expect to see. Well-executed fecal matter." Oh, my God.
So good shit. Woo! Is what he's saying.
Yeah, so he liked it. I'm pretty sure that's what I got from that. And then we've got this guy who just, says, this is my favorite one of the whole thing, though. It's from Arthur Adam Brzezinski, says, "This shit fuck." All right.
I love America.
Yeah. There's a lot of smart people on the internet. It's why it's so great. All right. So let's talk. Where did the idea spawn? I mean, I remember when I showed you guys the Stitches video on the car ride back from a round. And then you texted me, I think, within a day or two. And you were like, "We got to do this." So what inspired you that we should make a parody of this song?
Well, you played it coming back from a tournament in the car.
Yeah, Pat Carter was there, and he thought it was amazing, too.
Pat Carter was there, and then Novak, the big scary guy from the video, he was in the car as well, and he already knew about it. It was the first time I'd ever heard it, though, and yeah, obviously I thought it was an amazing song. And then it was like a day or two later, I was standing in line at the movies, and it just, I don't know why, it was stuck in my head. And
that's an amazing song. You said it yourself.
Song, and I just thought of the line "stick for my case," and then I texted that to you, and then you came back with "I love playing golf," and then from there it was just
The
song was written.
Yeah,
you know?
So we both wrote a verse basically, and then we altered it slightly when we got together, and pretty much from conception to final video was like a week.
No, 3 days, dude.
Three days. Yeah,
you did the music Friday morning.
That's right, yeah.
We did the vocals Friday evening.
Yeah.
We recorded the video Saturday morning, started editing Saturday night. I edited for 20 hours, and it was done Sunday evening.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's
I couldn't stop.
I don't think we've ever, I don't think we've ever had a work rate like that either. I mean, it was, we did have, this story sounds like there was no hardships along the way, but like every good rom-com or whatever, like any movie that's about some great thing happening at the end, you know, there was that moment where it was in doubt, and that moment was when John had to rap his verse. I mean, I don't mean to be harsh, but it was pretty fun, dude.
Oh, rapping's hard.
Rapping is hard. That's why not everybody can do it. I mean, yeah. Stitches is a rare talent, and we're trying to emulate him, and it's not that easy.
The hardest part for me, full disclosure, I was pretty much always half a beat behind. Mm-hmm. It was because I was trying to force the Stitches voice. I think if I'd gone with my natural voice, which obviously would sound just like Snoop Dogg, it would have been no problem.
Yeah, but it's much more Snoop Doggish for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But trying to do Stitches, man, I had to like take a deep breath every time I wanted to rap. And
yeah.
Put me behind it. I could not rap.
Luckily, the technology not only allows people to tell us this shit fuck, but it also allows me to maneuver and move stuff around until it fits perfectly. And it actually did not even take that long. You were pretty much on beat, but just a little behind. So I basically just had to move everything just forward, just a touch. And now it's perfect. No one would ever know. So looking forward to the first time we ever actually do a live performance of this song.
Man. Oh, God, that's going to happen in November, I assume.
I mean, we may have to Beyonce this one because we want the performance to be so perfect.
Well, so can I lift weights with Benoit in the background?
Sure, why the fuck not? But yeah, we'll maybe Beyonce. You know, when Beyonce sang for the president, she wanted it to be perfect, so she lip synced it. Maybe we'll go that route just to make sure that.
We still have mics and they're on, but they're only tributing about half the sound.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's not actually lip syncing. We're just our own hype men, basically, is what we'll do.
Right.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. This was definitely a fun project, and I thought it came out great. You did a great job with the editing. I remember we were talking about all these white flashes.
And honestly, I would not have done them if you hadn't insisted that they were key to the video. And
they
are. You were right.
Yeah.
But I fucking went frame by frame through that video to put those flashes in.
Wow.
And I'm thrilled with how it turned out, but that's why it took 20 hours.
Yeah, yeah, that's not an easy process. I'm confused as to why the guy who came up with the Stitches original concept was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a shit ton of white flashes in here randomly because I got nothing better to do with my time.
I got a feeling it's like a cheesy preloaded filter
probably
feature thing that just comes with some program. Like it's just something you can hit a button and do, but
yeah,
that's not the way I did it.
No, we do things the hard way around here.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to check out the video, Stick From My Case, you can find it on YouTube. The channel is the Mediocre Golf Association. So just search that and it's like the top video on there. And while we're talking about our YouTube channel, we should probably intro the new series, that is now actually the first episode. Part one and part two is all live on the YouTube right now, and that is the Two Golfers, One Cart series. So, John, that's another brainchild of you. Where did that – well, first tell people a little about it, and then tell, like, where the concept for that came from.
Yeah, so that one I watched comedians in cars going to get coffee or
whatever. Oh, you did watch that. Okay.
Whatever it's called, yeah. So I watched that first and was – inspired by that, I'd have to say.
Mm-hmm. By the ease of the making process and all. Yeah. You just put a camera in a car.
Sweet. No white flashes. I'm doing this. Yeah. No, but I just thought it was a cool idea, and you know, I wanted to put something out there that might capture people's attention for more than 30 seconds, you know, something that if you've just got some time and want to chill out and watch something that's hopefully interesting, and then this is the thing to watch. And also I wanted to get, obviously, learn some more about chapter leaders and MGAers out there, and so I went down to Southern California, played with a couple guys down in Southern Cal, and then obviously the first one was me and Willie, and got both of those up now. And then next up is Juan Camacho, one of the original MGAers, and definitely one of the most interesting MGAers. So that's next week's episode.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Did we lose Sean, or my Skype just said some weird thing?
I don't know. Sean, you there?
I Yes, we did. Okay, it says my Skype says there's a problem with this call. Hold on while we try to get the call back. So it looks like Sean dropped for a second, which is too bad. I was going to ask him about his What's on the Note submission, which apparently was awesome. Do you have it? Do you have it anywhere, John? I would love to hear what Sean, because it's okay. So just so people know,
yeah, you set it up. I'll look for it.
There was a in the first episode. There was a gentleman who continued to hit into us, and so John decided to leave a note for this guy. You know, just as a friendly little reminder that we don't appreciate the fact that we kept getting hit into.
It's three times in five holes.
Yeah, it was not. It was over the top hitting into us. I mean, if it happens once, it happens. It's fine. It's the kind of stuff that, you know, you don't see the guy maybe or whatever. But this guy did it over and over again. So John left a note, and then we were confronted about two holes later, and that was quite funny. So we, you know, John basically blacked out the note, and then we had people guess as to what John had written on this note. And yeah, Sean had a really good one.
For the teaser, we covered up the note, but showed the guy confronting us and that he was obviously pissed off. So people got pretty close, actually. I was surprised.
So what was the winning, the winning What's on the Note submission?
Sean, are you back?
We're calling him, but I'm not sure. I don't think he's actually back yet.
Okay. Yeah. So the actual note was, "Hey Dick, fuck off."
Yeah.
From John.
Pretty clear.
Pretty clear. Yeah.
Cut and dry.
And I also stepped on his ball for good measure.
Oh yes, that's correct. Do you think he was more mad about the ball or the note?
The note.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the note. So then we had a couple guys get real close. Sean Dolan from Ireland said, "Hey you, fuck off." And then Kiki.
Oh wow, really?
And then Kiki from Salt Lake said, "Hi, fuck you, love John." So, you know. Those both were pretty close, so I awarded both of them a SFMGA t-shirt.
Nice.
Yep.
And what was Sean's?
Sean's was, "Wow, you were really long," which is exactly what your wife said to me last night, which I wish is what I'd written on the note.
That would have been pretty good. Yeah. I got to agree.
But the fact that his wife was in the cart with him, I'm not sure how well that would have gone down. Like, the other note didn't go down well at all.
Well, that note probably would have led to actual fisticuffs with no, like, there would have been no way out of that one, I don't think. I think we would have had a fight if that was what the note said. His wife did happen to be one of those girls who likes to watch her man brawl, apparently, because she participated in the shit-talking as well.
Oh, she stared you down so hard, man, because you came back and kind of muttered, "Oh, I bet his home life's real good."
Oh,
she was like, "Why don't you say that to his face?"
Yeah. She's like, "Yeah, you should say it right to his face right now. You guys should fight." Yeah, basically, she was trying to egg it on. So, real power couple that we came across on the golf course. Sean, are you back?
Yes.
Hey,
yes,
buddy, what's going on? All right. We were just talking about your submission for the What's on the Note contest and how it was clearly the best one, but unfortunately not the accurate one. So
no, I wasn't going for accuracy.
No, I don't think you were. Although
I was wondering, I mean, here's what I found funny. Well, two things I found funny about that whole situation is that, one, I'm actually from the East Bay and I think I grew up with like eight of those guys. And the second was, you know, in the promo, you know, there's the off camera conversation, and then Morley's like, you know, sniffing and like rubbing his nose afterwards, and I'm like, shit, did he actually get punched in the fucking face? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, we teased it like maybe some more shit went down, but actually that was kind of the end of the whole thing. He basically left us alone after that, but I don't think he was with his buddies. I think he was just with his wife, and then got paired up with some random people because. If that had been the case, it might have been different.
Yeah. Well, here's sort of the unintentional positive side effect of that whole thing is that, that's your fucking problem is now a catchphrase in the Albuquerque MGA.
Nice. You guys are hitting from what? The whites?
You hit it three times, I'm hitting from the yellows. That's your fucking problem.
Pussy.
Yeah, pussy. I like how you kind of like put the ambient sound and the music back up and then just lowered it just for that, just so you could really get that exclamation point of pussy as he walked away.
I fully expected someone from the Oakland chapter, like bully or someone, be like, "Oh, that's my cousin." You
know? Right. Exactly. I mean, and I'm from Livermore, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so, yeah, no, I mean, there's the fucking East Bay's crawling with sea bass. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I feel like, you know, what's funny is if he was like in the MGA, we might like that guy. It might, you know, we might be fine with him. He backs us up, you know. But in that particular scenario, that's
did you wait a few more holes and then give him a card?
Yeah, you're like, "Hey, man, you want to hang out with us?" No, we don't want someone who plays from the Yellows, though, you know. It's just bad news. All right, so before we move on to talking about the upcoming tournaments, let's talk about the World Championships, because there is only one tournament before that left, and that is the last gasp, and that's your last chance to try to get into that top 10 in your chapter. Sneak your way in there. So, John, let's. Is there any new things that people should expect this year? We're playing the same course as last year, correct?
Same course as last year, Boulder Creek, okay. Which was well received. I think everyone likes it. It's a little more interesting than the Legacy.
It's a tougher track too, so it's going to make for a more competitive tournament, I think.
Yeah.
You know, rather than everybody being right around 80, and then you know some guys just going to have one good round, it's going to take a little bit more.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you know, we got a new hotel this year. We're pretty much up to the same number of people as we had last year. And it's obviously still going here. I think we're going to have about 140 people when it's all said and done, right?
Wow.
Like 103 right now.
That's huge, man, because that's a lot of guys to wrangle. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, but we've got more volunteers this year. Christine, that's true. From Conejo Valley has decided not to play. Her and Dawn are just going to volunteer and work for my cousin Tessa this year. So with the three of them cracking the whip, I don't think there's going to be any issue.
No, I think it'll go off without a hitch. So the new hotel is the California Hotel and Casino, which is closer to the action, I would say.
Yeah, it's by like a block off Fremont Street.
Yeah.
So if you want to go see like some live action Transformers or a guy wedge himself into a small plastic box. Those are all things you can do on Fremont Street.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was a lot of people requesting stuff like that, you know, live action Transformers.
So for anybody who's not familiar with the WCs, let's just real quickly go over it. It's potentially four rounds of golf. If you want to just come for just the tournament itself, that's November 14th and 15th. But we also offer a four-day package, which means you come on the 12th, you have a fun round, then you have an actual like practice round, then the 14th you start round one of the tournament, the low IQ, the Medio Cup, all that, and then the next day is the Sunday or Saturday, and that's the final day of the tournament. So that's a lot of golf, and it's the funnest golf you'll ever play in your life probably, because it's 100 and if we get to 140, it's 140 of your closest, drunkest, most mediocre friends. We play at Boulder Creek, like you said, John. And there's a lot of stuff going on. Two-round tourney, low IQ, chapters, medio. There's also the kind of long and kind of close contests, which if you've won a long drive or close to the pin throughout the season, you qualify. And you get to participate in that. And there's the meet and greet, which this year is actually going to be... We're going to have music this year.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's different than last year. Before we just did it, I think it was after round one last year.
Yeah.
So this year it's Thursday night, so it's the night before round one. And I'm calling it the Thursday Night Super Party.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's we a actually good name. Apt.
We got a band booked, which I'm not going to reveal just yet, but it should be very entertaining. Gonna leave it at that for right now. So we got a band, we got the beauty bar all to ourselves on Fremont Street. It's gonna be awesome. So hopefully everyone gets in early enough Thursday night.
Yeah.
And nobody tries to be a hero and fly in Friday morning for round one, which is just pointless. It's like $20 more to get a hotel for Thursday night. So don't be a hero.
Don't be a hero, you guys.
Yeah. I'm coming in Wednesday afternoon so I can have practice happy hour on Wednesday.
Perfect.
I was just going to ask what day you were coming in.
I'm coming in Wednesday, probably like mid-afternoon, so I can, you know, just really give it my best at the bar on Wednesday and not just be coming in cold on Thursday.
No, it's a smart play, I think. What you want to do is you really kind of want to you prepare your body for the assault that you're going to be doing to it. But, you know, just a little pre-gaming. You don't want to just come in straight on Friday or, you know, cold to what's going to happen to you. You want to kind of like warm up to it a little bit.
So. No, you don't. Yeah. You don't want to be just like steaming through the taxi stand and hit it cold just like that.
It's a shock to the system. And that's just, that's not healthy. What the healthier thing to do is to over time, like even a month before, just like start doing a little cocaine every day, just a touch. And then like each day ramp it up just a bit. And then by the time you get there, you're in mid-season form. So,
cocaine friendlies.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of like before the soccer season starts.
So if people out there want to sign up for this, you got to just go to the NGAtour.com. There's a big ass button on the right side. It'll take you all to the page that kind of talks about the whole thing and what's going on. You can watch the video that was created last season. All the pictures from last year. There's a lot of great stuff in there, so definitely go check that out. To qualify for the actual belt, though, John, what are the ways people can be qualified? I know top 10.
Right, top 10 on your chapter money list. Yeah. If you've won a regular season event, or if you're a past champion within the last 5 years, past world champ or global
world champ, global money winner, I think.
Right. And then anyone who doesn't meet those requirements can still show up and play round one. And then that's the low IQ, the last opportunity in qualification. So if they finish in the top half of people in the low IQ, then they move on to round two and are playing for the belt. And, the people who finish in the bottom half, they're still playing Saturday, but just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun. A round of golf with 100, and we can go up to 180. So let's hit that number, you guys. Let's see if we can do it. A round of golf on a Saturday that doesn't mean you can win the belt is still a round of golf with 180 of your closest friends. So you should definitely come out whether you're qualified or not. It's no one has ever come out and not had fun. I don't think a single person has ever come out and not left saying that was the greatest thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, I do have a question, though. How many people play themselves out of contention for the belt on Thursday night?
Oh, many. Many do. Yes.
Yeah, I'd say there's, you know, I mean, what small chance I have. I mean, you know, lightning could strike, but, you know, I mean, if somebody points me to the bar on Thursday, I might be out of the running. But
though? That's fine because nobody – if there's a guy who's come and had a solid game plan of trying to get sleep – it never worked. They might think that they're going to do that. But once they get there and you start hanging out, it just happens, you know?
It's funny. We sent one guy last year, Matt Anaya. And I think he was in contention after the first day.
Yeah.
And he actually, like, was on the wagon. Like, he
oh, really?
Yeah. He dried out and was sober and then, but still just succumbed to the wonder that is the world championships.
Yep. It's just what happens, man. Yeah, we've had actually the Golden Bear. He doesn't drink, and I'm surprised he hasn't pulled one of these out yet. But this year is going to be epic. It's going to be bigger and better than last year. Is there any other important news that we need to let people know about the world championships, John?
I think that's about it right now. I'm trying to... There really isn't a sign-up deadline.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone needs to pay by October 15th because, you know, we got to pay the course, pay the hotels.
Bills have to be met, yeah.
But I need to know towards the beginning of October, really October 1st, if we're going to rent the whole course, which means we're going over 140 people. So I'm going to do a little late sign-up push here this next week to try and get people to just go ahead and do it already, because I've talked to a bunch of different chapter leaders who say they're bringing 10 guys and meanwhile they have two signed up right now. So
yeah.
And I know how it is. I mean, you can talk to people about it, but it's just getting everyone to get together and be like, oh yeah, let's go ahead and do that right now. So we'll try and have people sign up by early October here.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely do that. The package is completely worth the money. I mean, you're basically taken care of while you're there.
Yeah, and what I tell people in the emails after they've registered, and I send them a little note saying, "All right, got your registration. Here's the invoice. Pay it whenever you want to lock your spot in, but just remember, the sooner you pay this, the more it feels like a free trip in November." So
yeah,
keep that in mind. If you know you're going to do it, let's just do this already. And by the time November rolls around, you're just going to be stoked and won't have to put out any more money.
Exactly. Well, except, you know, for the bar, which
and whatever else, right? While you're there.
Right.
Yeah, whatever else. I don't know what that might be.
Is there other stuff to do in Vegas?
No, not really. Actually, you will find that other stuff and you will do it with a group of 20 other guys. It's kind of the way to do Vegas, I think. All right, so we'll move on. There will be some more announcements. There's going to be some more promotional items coming out to kind of get you guys hyped up for this. You know, there was a lot of footage from last year, and not all of it made it into those videos. So
that's right.
Maybe some of that will come out, and you'll see some of the B-roll, some of the stuff that you didn't get to see. This is behind the scenes stuff.
Some guys were pretty bummed. They felt like we used some of their D material.
Yeah, we didn't get their best stuff.
Some real comedians out there apparently. So Willie's pouring through it right now, and
yeah. There's a lot of shit in there. I'll say this. There's a lot of footage, and you know, some of it, you got to watch it really to find where the good stuff happens. So, yeah, look forward to that. It's hilarious kind of reliving though that weekend again. Every year we go now, John, we go for the full week. We stay the extra day. You got your Sunday recovery day. It's my yearly trip. It's my Mecca, if you will.
Do you guys try to fly out on Sunday morning?
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, no, because Morley posted a proposed itinerary on our Facebook page, and I was like, fucking 8 o'clock, you know, departure on Sunday? Fuck no.
No.
When I was doing there, I was finding the cheapest possible flight options, and sure. Of course they're going to be early.
No, what you can do is that you just stay up until your flight. That's the other option.
Well, you know, and that's a valid strategy, but I'll relay a little story from the last time I was in Vegas. This is why I won't do this. I forget why I was there, but there was also a fight that same weekend. And I was there for a soccer game, actually. Okay. But anyway, so there's a fight, and I'm in the security line like on the Sunday morning at like 7 or 8 in the morning, and I'm behind this girl, and she tries to go through like the little machine, you know, the scanner machine. She's got her flip flops on. They tell her she's got to take her flip flops on. You know, she turns around. I mean, she's staggering, and I see the look in her eyes, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is about to happen. She gets her flip flops off, throws them onto the thing, turns around, and then just fucking hurls everywhere. Like right there. I mean, you know, I mean, and you know, I don't know, you know, the next day after a fight night in Vegas, there's like thousands of people there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And and I thought, you know, I've been there. That could be me.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. I see what's going on here, and it's fine. It happens.
A couple days later, I'm looking at the itineraries for the World Championships, and I thought, I'm going to book myself a 1 o'clock flight home.
Yeah. So what we do now is we just stay all day on Sunday and watch football, and then you leave on Monday, and you're fine. You're good to go. It's the smart play. Sometimes it's not available to you if you have to get back to work or whatever, but you know, this is a big trip for us. We're going to take the extra day.
Speaking of that, Willie, I went ahead and accepted some work flying out Monday to the East Coast.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going, thankfully, you know, got Sunday to recover.
Yeah. You still got that recovery day. Yeah.
Get some pictures up.
Although sometimes on recovery day, you try to go see a magic show. Apparently I was surprised. Yeah. you guys actually tried to make that happen.
The bulldozer.
Yeah.
Bulldozer
likes, well, he's still going strong on Sunday. Yeah. There's a few things I know about Bulldozer. Takes big divots. He loves pinball. And he likes the magic. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I learned some things about the Australians that day. They hate magic.
They hate it, huh?
Yeah, they really went. And all the credit to them for that.
So this year we're not going to have, for the first time since we've had MGA Perth, we're not going to have Luke McBride.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
How can this be? Yeah, fuck that guy. Luckily, that doesn't mean that we're going to be completely devoid of Aussies this year.
That's right.
How many are planning to come at this point?
We got three of them, including triumphant return of Carl Cottrell.
Carl, yeah, Carl. Let's do this. All right. Yeah. So he lives a semi Todd Benoit style of life. I don't know if you keep up with him on the social media, but he seems to always be on vacation somewhere in Europe. Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure how he pulls that one off, but I love that guy. Great dude. We'll see if he's trying. Is he trying to get married again this year?
I don't know.
I remember when he came out before, his goal was to try to get married while he was in Vegas.
I hope that he's been to Bali or Thailand or wherever it was they got those incredible suits last time.
Oh, yeah.
So that he'll have another brilliant plaid suit. Yeah.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome. I'm expecting big things out of Carl this year. He actually came and he played in an SFMGA event, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
He snorted... what did he snorted salt or he stuck it in his eyeball or something? I don't know. He did some crazy shit while he was here. It was interesting. All right, so let's talk about the last gasp tournament. That's the last one coming up. I think the big story here in SF is potentially we may see another Chapter Money winner besides Todd Benoit. Although that's going to take quite a few things happening. It's unlikely.
It would take a miracle.
Yeah.
At this point, I mean. Mike Lucky Charm Clemens is in there with a shot. He's about a dollar behind, and Todd is on a string of
top fives basically
30 plus top tens in a row.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't have a bad tournament ever. I don't understand.
Since the site started keeping stats, he's only gotten top tens.
So basically, the only way it's going to go down is Mike has to win because that's how you get more than a dollar. He has to win, and Todd's going to have to finish, like, out of the top 12, maybe, or something like that.
Todd's car has to break down on the way to the course.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. But there's still a lot to play for as well outside of just that top spot, because, of course, the top 10 is up for grabs. Right now, I'm sitting comfortable in number 7, man. Finally having a decent year again, which, I mean, last year I think I cashed, twice or something?
Yeah,
I was terrible at golf last year. Now I'm back to being mediocre. So, but there's a couple of guys sitting there on the bubble. You got Fulweiler, Supple, Meeker, the captain, Martin Brahm, Jesse Marty. These guys are all 11 to 15. So,
yeah.
Is that going to get you into the Medio Cup, Willie?
Yeah, I'll be in the Medio Cup. Yeah.
See, I'm on the, check the graphic that John posts like twice, three times a week. And I'm literally like counting the names to see if I'm going to make it.
Well, the good news is you don't actually have to be in straight top 16 or whatever. You can usually get a little out of that because people don't show, you know.
So right. No, that's yeah. So I have to look at the picture and then figure out who signed up.
Yeah.
I'm in right now, so I've got my fingers crossed.
Now that it's getting close enough, I'll put together something so you guys know where you stand, like what the Medio Cup team is.
Yeah.
On current signups.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know. The Medio Cup is San Francisco versus the world at the World Championship. And it's
San Francisco, we like to think that we're like the USA, where when we take things on, we're good enough, just ourselves, but we'll just take on everybody else.
Right.
Just I thought it was kind of like you guys are the French and we're the USA, but, it's perspective.
So it's the top 10. It's Ryder Cup style match play. And top 10 San Francisco medios versus the top 10 world medios who show up for the World Championship based on global
money position. Plus a captain's pick.
Right. Captain and captain's pick. So 12 total. So, and then the captain, help me out, Willie, is the global money champ from last year, right?
Yes, correct. So we take our money list, the San Francisco money list guy, and then the captain is. Well, then we have to take the top non SF guy, basically. Okay. Yeah. So whoever that might be, I'm not exactly even sure who that is.
This is like the only thing that could ruin the World Championships for me is spending 4 days in Vegas with Escobel asking me. So are you in the Medio Cup? I know I am, but are you? And
I'm not. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is actually to me, outside of the big tournament, I think this is the one I'm more excited about. I didn't get to play in it last year and it crushed me. So this year I'm excited to be back in it and And, you know, and I did well the year before, too. So whoever they put me against, I'm pretty sure to be in a doubles match because, you know, Todd doesn't think very highly of my game, and he shouldn't. So I'm likely to be in a doubles match again. But it's so fun, and, you know, you get the outfit going, and, you know, it's everybody knows the Ryder Cup. That's where the guys really bring it. And the same thing with the Medio Cup, too. So, but there's also the Chapters Cup out there for people who aren't in this. So your chapter could win that. It's very unlikely because SF is pretty much a shoe-in, but it could happen. And that's another good one to win. So there's a lot of trophies. One thing we like to do in the end is we don't give trophies for participation because that's stupid, but we like to give out a lot of trophies, a lot of things to win. So Last Gasp is your last chance to qualify for all this stuff, the top 10s. That's all really important. And of course, if you're way out of the top 10, you can still just pick up that one victory, and that'll get you in there. So good luck to everybody in that upcoming tournament. And just real quick, we'll talk about the other golf association. I found out recently that our boy Dustin Johnson, greatest athlete in the PGA by far. I mean, he's got like an 84-inch vertical or something like that.
At least,
yeah. And also, apparently, a casual drug user, which I don't understand why that's the problem, because he seems to be doing just fine. He is now about to have a baby with his girlfriend. I think it's his girlfriend. I don't think it's his wife. I'm not sure, though. She's hot. Have you seen her?
It's Wayne Gretzky's daughter.
Wayne Gretzky, yeah, that's right. She's a Gretzky. So, yeah, they're going to have a baby. So I'm assuming that this will be a super baby that will come out swinging a golf club and be amazing. This will be the Tiger Woods of, you know, 2050 or something like that.
I think you're right. That's a good prediction.
Yeah, because you're taking Gretzky's DNA, and then you're putting in, you know, the closest thing we have in this planet to Superman. You're putting that in there a little bit with the Dustin Johnson. So. Everybody look out for Baby Johnson, man. That thing's going to be insane.
Well, I think what everybody wants to know is who's going to stay off Coke longer, you know, the mom or Dustin?
You know, it's a sympathy Coke withdrawal, right, that he has to do now. Because now she can't do it, so he's going to have to. But then once the baby comes out, man, all bets are off, dude. We go right back to it. But I just want to bring this up. Why shouldn't golfers be allowed to use cocaine or marijuana? Who cares? Why do we care?
Well,
his life's not falling apart. He's in the PGA. It's fine.
Well, I mean, from my experience, neither of them enhance my performance on the golf course.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know. If you're doing it at the tournament, maybe it's giving you an edge. I could see that. But if you're just hanging out and partying, it seems fine. I don't get it.
Willie, did you see see the meme I put up about him and his buddies celebrating his 30th place finish
in the FedEx? No, I didn't see that.
So I photoshopped him in opening a bottle of Dom Perignon with in the famous picture from Blow, the poster.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting around with stacks of money.
Nice.
And it just says DJ and his friends celebrate his 30th place finish because he won like 175 grand.
Yeah.
And he didn't play golf since July.
No. He's been out for a while. So,
yeah. And the first comment was some apparently casual fan of the MGA Facebook page, Keith Stanzel, who says, "Tasteless, guys. You're better than that." And then
he really doesn't know us, does he? We're not better than
Sean's,
that.
Sean's comment was perfect. What was it, Sean?
No, we most certainly are not.
Not better than that at all.
No, I think I Facebook stalked the guy too. I think he's like involved with like a TPC course or something.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
He's one of those guys that takes golf seriously, and yeah, no room for that around here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I decided not to reply to his comment, but I wanted to, and all I was going to say was Dustin would have laughed.
Exactly. You know, Dustin's
Dustin
into
would
it.
Think it's funny.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters to us.
No, I mean, he obviously doesn't know us at all.
No, right. No. Doesn't get it. Not everyone gets it. But you know who does get it is the current world number one right now, and he's from Perth. So let's media spotlight Luke Germaini. This is the guy. Is he signed up for the WCs? Is he coming?
He's not.
He's not. Okay. So good news, everybody. The world number one not going to be there. So that opens up the door for basically everybody else. But I don't know anything about this guy, and he's our number one. He's representing the MGA right now. He'll probably be at the – they have their own WCs in a way, right? They got the Australia Cup or whatever?
They have the Australian Championship. Yeah. I'm not sure if he signed up for that or not. But now he's been on tour for a couple years now.
Yeah.
And him and I think he's got a brother down there too that they pretty much dominate down in Perth. Yeah, they're 1-2 in Perth right now.
Dicks.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how they feel about him.
Yep. So he has this year 3 wins, but he came on tour for the first time in 2013, it looks like. And then he had 1 in the previous year. But this year, he's not only does he have 3 wins, but he's got 6 top threes. So, dude is having a beast of a season right now. He looks like he's the perfect medio, though, right? His average score is 90.
That's perfect.
He's just playing in the right chapter, honestly.
Yeah.
There is kind of a method to the madness of picking the correct chapter. And some people might want to move. I mean, Gabe Elash demonstrated how well this strategy can work out for you when he decided to move to North Carolina. And basically, right. He's been on a winning streak ever since.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something to think about.
Now, we can't talk about the global money leader without mentioning Andrew Southgate from Boston, because he was on top of the money list.
That's true.
For a lot of the season, and he was a mystery man.
Nobody knew this guy.
Did not have a profile picture, had no information about himself on there. So we sent Todd Benoit out there, because he's from Boston. He tracked him down, got video of him, and as soon as his cover was blown and video of him was posted online, he DQ'd at the next tournament. So I'm not saying that... you know, maybe we exposed him, because his scores before that, let's see, his event scores were 81, 81, 80, 81.
Oh, my God.
And then he got a 79 after we interviewed him. But wow. Then he shot a 95 after the 79. So you know what? He's back in my good graces.
All right, cool. Good. Yeah, he's similar to you then, John. It's like, you know, you either shoot 79 or shoot 105, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And he did the honorable thing, you know. He shot a 79 while leading the global money list.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And
that,
honestly...
That goes down in history, actually, because there's been a few notable DQs where, you know, someone could have missed the putt. John, you actually had one of the biggest ones of all time. You would have had a world championship belt.
I would have.
Yeah, yep. But you made that putt, and I, you know, give you all the credit in the world for that one.
It was a mistake.
Oh, it's the stuff dreams are made of. That makes you legend, right? I mean, if you can drain a 10-footer to DQ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like that. Beautiful. That to me, look, there's what, 5 world champions in history right now?
Right.
And there's only one guy who drained a putt to lose.
I mean, you got the web.com tour commissioner like actually thinking about maybe looking at his telephone for
exactly.
Like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just considering it. Yeah. He's like, you know, I just need to sell this guy. He can shoot the 79s. Maybe if he wears 2 gloves, we'll get him on there. That ought to do it. All right. So I think that's going to do it for the media cast. John, was there anything else you wanted to bring up about anything going on? Anything you wanted to pimp? Things people need to know about?
I think that's it right now. I think just people should sign up for the World Championship.
Sign up for the World Championships, people. That's what matters.
If you're going to go, just go ahead and sign up now.
Yeah.
It makes planning it a lot easier, and it gets people pumped up on it.
It absolutely does. All right, so I want to thank Sean for joining us. Sean, if people want to join the Albuquerque chapter... are you guys actively recruiting currently? You guys say you have like 23.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're always looking for more guys that aren't douchebags. We've had a little bit of a run of douchebags, but, you know, I've filled in the rest of the chapter about the 9-hole douchebag rule. So I think everyone's up to speed.
Nice.
If you're not a douchebag and you'd like to play, we're more than happy to have you.
There you go, man. Albuquerque. If you're living in New Mexico and you're like, man, These guys sound so cool. They talk about cocaine freely. I want to join that thing. There you go. Albuquerque, you can do it. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the MJ MediaCast. We will be back in 2 weeks. We'll have another guest, and so look forward to that. We'll be talking about more golf, talking a lot more about the World Championships coming up. And make sure you guys go check out all of the things that the MJ has. Of course, there's the Facebook, the YouTube, and, of course, the website itself, mjatour.com. Follow us on Twitter as well. Just we're kind of all over the place. So any of the places that you like to frequent on the web, you will find us there. And look forward to that. So thanks again to Sean, the chapter leader of Albuquerque, Sean McAfee, and John Morley, co-founder and El Presidente. I'm Willie Dills, and we'll see you guys next time.